The following message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. We would like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You'd be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street, that's Murfreesboro Road, in Smyrna, Tennessee. Please visit our website at defendthegospel.com. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day. Now take your Bibles, the Word of God, and open them up to Luke chapter 18, and let's begin reading in verse 18. The Bible says, "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother.' And he said, 'All these things I have kept from my youth.' So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich." Now, I want to talk to us for a few minutes this morning about the rich young ruler. Now, we read in the Gospels a story of one we call the rich young ruler. Most folks are concerned about life after life, that is, eternal life. Now, we learn a great deal about this in the Lord's conversation with this one that Luke calls a ruler and refers to as rich in the reading that we have just read. Now, open your Bibles also to Matthew chapter 19, because we're going to be referring to that passage, which is Matthew's account of this same story, as we consider three things from the story of the rich young ruler. In the first place, we see in this story the commandments. The commandments. Now, the ruler asked the Lord really the greatest question that one can ever ask. It's the greatest question of antiquity. It's the most important question that one can ask in the day of the Lord. And it's the most important and essential question that one can ask today. And that is, what may I do that I may have eternal life? Now, this sounds a lot like the question the Philippian jailer had asked Paul and his companion in Acts chapter 16. In verse 30, the Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" It also sounds a lot like the question asked by Peter's audience on Pentecost, when Peter had preached that gospel sermon to them, convincing them by many infallible truths that Jesus was in fact the Son of God. And when they heard that sermon, they were cut to the heart. In verse 37, and it says that they asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall I do to be saved?" In every one of these questions, in every one of these cases, the rich young ruler, the Philippian jailer, those at Pentecost, the answer boiled down to one thing, and that is, keep God's commandments. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17, Jesus' answer to the young ruler was, keep the commandments. He said there, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Now listen, the rich young ruler lived before the cross of Jesus Christ. And so he lived under the law of Moses. Now, after the cross of Christ, we all live under the doctrine of Christ. We no longer live under the law of Moses. In Hebrews 9, beginning verse 16, the Bible said, "For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator." Now, he's talking about what we call today a will. Now, when does a will go into effect? Well, it goes into effect only after the one who wrote the will dies. That's what the Hebrew writer is saying here. And so Jesus' will, that is Jesus' testament, the New Testament, his commandments,
did not go into effect until after he died. This is where so many people get confused with the thief on the cross. They say, well, we can be saved just like the thief on the cross. No, you can't. The thief on the cross was saved before Jesus died. Now, it wasn't until after Jesus died that he gave the commandment to believe and to be baptized in order to be saved, Mark 16:16. The thief on the cross was never subject to that commandment. But we today are subject to that commandment because here we live on the other side of the cross when Jesus' testament actually has gone into effect. And that's so important and so essential. By the way, I hear a lot of people say, well, we can get saved just like the thief on the cross. But I don't hear many people clamoring that, well, we get saved just like the rich young ruler. That is, we need to go out and sell everything we have and give it all to the poor. And so maybe folks ought to start being a little bit more consistent. The fact is, we inherit eternal life by keeping the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other two cases we mentioned, that is the case of those in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost and the case of the Philippian jailer, those two cases, in both those cases, they were told to repent and to be baptized. You go read your Bibles. In Acts 2:38, Peter answered them and said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. In Acts 16, verse 31, we're told that the jailer repented. At least he displayed his repentance by washing their stripes. And then he was baptized the same hour of the night. Now, why didn't Jesus tell the rich young ruler to be baptized? Because that law had not yet gone into effect. The rich young ruler lived under the law of Moses. We live under the law of Christ. Now listen, we can never earn our salvation. But if we want eternal life, we must obey the commandments of the Lord. Jesus said in John 14:21, the one who is truly my friend is he who keeps my commandments. Now, do you want to be a friend of the Lord? Can you go to heaven without being his friend? Well, if you want to be his friend, the Lord said you must keep my commandments. Again, Hebrews 5:8-9, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And so we see in the story of the rich young ruler in the first place, we see the commandments. In the second place, I want you to see the commitment. Now, there is much to commend the rich young ruler. He had displayed a great deal of commitment to God. Unlike the Pharisees who tested Jesus with their questions, the ruler seemed honest in his inquiry. Because when Jesus told him what he must do, we're told in Matthew 19:22 that he went away sorrowful. We also see commitment in that he had kept the commandments of the law of Moses from his youth. And Jesus didn't refute this claim. The boy said, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus said in verse 18, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. Verse 20, the young man said, all these I have kept from my youth, what do I lack still? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect. And so you see, Jesus didn't refute the claim that the rich young ruler had made, that he had kept these commandments from his youth. And so this young man did have a good heart anyway. He was actually committed. He had displayed a great deal of commitment to the Lord. Now, today, you and I, being committed to the Lord actually requires following the New Testament rather than appealing to the law of Moses for authoritative direction. Now, the rich young ruler displayed his commitment by following the commandments given in the law of Moses. But today, we show our commitment to God by following the doctrine of Christ. In 2 John verse 9, John said, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Now, John didn't say abides in the doctrine of Christ and Moses. He said, abides in the doctrine of Christ. The Apostle Paul made a very profound statement about the Old Testament in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. He said, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So salvation doesn't come through the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law was never intended to save anyone. Those today who appeal to the Old Testament to authorize some of their religious activities are displaying more commitment to an obsolete law than they are to the Lord. Look at what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 13 about the old law. He says here, well, let's look at verse 7 first. For if that first commandment had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. And then in verse 13 of Hebrews 8, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Did you know that the Lord actually said that he came to do away with the Old Testament? That's right. Matthew 5, verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever, did you see that? One jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law, that is the old law, till all is fulfilled. But he had just said in verse 17, I came to fulfill it. And so when Christ fulfilled the Old Testament law, that's what he came to do, then it did pass away. It did, as the Hebrew writer told us in Hebrews 8:13, it became obsolete. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. He didn't say do all in the name of Moses, but he said do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So my friends, we no longer live under the Old Testament. It was the Word of God. It still is the Word of God. It still has uses for us today. It's still beneficial for us today. We believe in the Old Testament, but we believe in the New Testament, and we believe the New Testament teaches that we no longer go to the Old Testament for our authority and our practices in religion. Number three, considering the rich young ruler, we see the commandments, we see the commitment, and we see the conflict. Now, the ruler's conflict is seen in Matthew chapter 19 in verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He did not choose to follow the Lord because he loved his riches. It all boiled down to that. Now, some try to serve both the Lord and money, but that's impossible. The Lord said in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve God and mammon. You'll love the one and hate the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. Those who try to do that have a divided eye or an unhealthy eye. They're pursuing riches and they're pursuing fame and they're pursuing fortune with more diligence than they're pursuing their obedience to the gospel of Christ. They're more devoted to the dollar than they are to the Lord. And what a shame. In 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10, Paul said, many have strayed from the faith because of their love of money. And he encourages there that we ought to be content with the things that we have. The Bible doesn't teach that we should just be lazy and lay around on the couch and let the Lord drop out of the sky the things that we need to live. No, we ought to work a job, but we need to be careful and make sure we love the Lord Jesus Christ more than we do money, or we'll be like this rich young ruler and walk away sad with our souls lost. Now this conflict that we struggle with, this same conflict today, the love of money, the love of power, this conflict can be resolved only by remembering those words of the Lord recorded in Luke chapter 12 and in verse 15, when the Lord Jesus Christ said that our lives do not consist and the abundance of the things that we possess. And so we learn three important lessons from the rich young ruler. Number one, we see the commandments. We are to keep the commandments of the Lord revealed in the gospel. We see the commitment. We show our commitment to the Lord by obeying the gospel. And we see the conflict. Let us love the Lord more than we love money.
Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and I'd just like to ask you a question. Are you a child of God? Are you really a Christian? I mean the way the Bible says to become a Christian. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. After we hear, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 8:24, the Lord said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. After hearing and believing, we must be willing to repent of our sins, change our lives, decide to serve the Lord, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Now we're ready to confess our faith in Christ. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says that with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now we are prepared for baptism. The Lord said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Do you want your sins washed away? This verse tells us how it is done. After doing this, we are now a Christian, a child of God, and we are commanded to remain faithful to the Lord until we die in order to receive the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Again, thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.